So that all that is information is in your bulletin. At this time, I would like to introduce the myth, the man, the legend, sort of. but a great friend of mine and a mentor for most of my life, especially all of my adult life, but Alan Dowse. If you don't know Alan Dowse, you're probably one in a million or so, but he's a good man, he loves the Lord, and he loves people. So this is Alan Dowse.
Thanks, buddy. Yep. Good morning, good morning. We doing okay today? Don't need this. So. We're going old school today, all right? Old school today. I want to thank the staff and pastors, Perry and Lois, thanks for allowing me to speak this morning. We're studying the book of Ephesians. Is that a good book? I don't see Dan and Dina here today, but Dina, for years, her Bible, Ephesians, kept falling out. And we're like, that's because you're in it all the time, Dina, you know, working on that stuff. So it's good stuff always in Ephesians. So before you do some things, you need to get prepared, right? So sometimes we have to stretch. And so you've been sitting here a little bit, you've been moving around, so if you need to move your head a little bit, you know, if you need to get up and touch your toes, you know, so what I'm asking you to do right now is get that physical stuff ready, also get your spirit ready to receive from God, because sometimes we can be closed up, and when we're closed up, we don't allow God to work in us. Had a really neat opportunity last night. I got to go to the Indians game against the A's, and I'm much more of a Reds fan than Indians fan, but my friend Carl Lane, his brother Jerry, was doing the games and so had tickets for us. So me and three other guys went up there, and I didn't know what was going on, but Jim Thome got inducted into the Cleveland Indians Hall of Fame last night. So we got to be there. He come walking across the field, and the whole 40-some thousand people cheering him, because he was the man in the 90s. I mean, Jim Thome and Bell were, I mean, they were the guys. And so I thought, wow, it's really neat to get to be here for this opportunity to do that, and didn't even know it was coming. And they introduced, he talked a little bit, introduced his dad, just tears rolling down his dad's face. I was like, wow. And of course, with these big TV screens, I mean, they're like, you know, if there's a tear about it, they want to see that. So they're zooming in on Mr. Thome, and introduced his wife, his daughter, and his young son. And before the game, his daughter, I don't know, does anybody know how old she is? She looked about 14-ish, looked young. She sang the national anthem. And Jim Thome, just tears rolling down his face. And I said, wow, that's the moment. You know, that's the deal. The Hall of Fame was pretty cool, but his daughter got to sing the national anthem when he was inducted into the Indians Hall of Fame. I said, now that's a big deal. That's a big deal. That was way bigger deal than anything else that was done that night. So we serve a God that's a big deal, a God that's a big deal. So our scriptures today are in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. We're going to focus on two main scriptures. So if you turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, be imitators of God, therefore as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So if you really look at that whole thing, we're supposed to live a life of love as Christ did. What did he do? He died for us. That's a big deal, folks. That's a big deal. He died for us. Then if we go to Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. So that's what we're going to focus on this morning. Live as children of the light. I like acronyms. And so Kathy's like, you like those acronyms. I'm like, yeah, it helps me remember. Helps me remember stuff. So we're going to do the acronym of light and how that reflects to us as Christians and how we can walk our life. So L stands for let go of the past. Move forward with God. I believe we beat ourselves up more. And sometimes we give Satan credit, and it's ourselves just beating ourselves up over things that we've done in the past. Talking about baseball, I was like, okay, if I can be successful 3 out of 10 times, I'm in the Baseball Hall of Fame. I'm batting 300. Tom and I have talked about in our business, if we were only right in our business 3 out of 10 times, we'd be gone. We wouldn't have a job. We wouldn't have a job if we were 7 out of 10 times we were wrong. Only 3 out of 10 times we were right. We've got to quit beating ourselves up over things we've done in the past. David said he was a man after God's own heart. I look at what he did, I'm going, are you kidding me? He messed up a lot. But what did he do? He said, God, forgive me. I messed up. Forgive me. And God said, he's a man after my own heart. So let's look at Acts chapter 17, verse 28. Everybody got your Bibles or your phone? One of the two? All right. Yep, exactly. So Acts, we're in chapter 17, verse 28. Okay, next page. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of our own poets have said, we are his offspring. So we need to be about what God is doing. Many times we get stuck in our tradition. This is how it's done. This is how my mom did it. My dad did it. This is how my grandparents did it. This is how I'm going to do it. This is how I expect my kids to do it. We're stuck in that. In 1991, Kathy and I had an opportunity to go to Ecuador, South America, where my uncle had been a medical missionary for 50 years. And we were going to be part of the services. The Sataguro Indians, or direct descendants of the Inca Indians. And so they had two services, one in Spanish and one in Quechua. Anybody ever heard Quechua? It's a cool language. I mean, it's all over the place. It's completely different from Spanish. And so they'd have two services. And what I found really unique is some Indians would come to the Spanish service and some Spanish would come to the Indian service. They sort of crisscrossed. And I'm like, okay, you know, we're here. We're doing a work project. Okay, what time's church start? 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock? You can't have church at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. I mean, it should be 10. 10 and 12. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. That's how I was always raised. That's when you should, if you're going to do two services, do it at 10 and 12. We're going to start at 2? Are you kidding me? Well, Alan, the Inca Indians and the Sataguro Indians are direct descendants of the Inca Indians, and they work up in the mountains. And they work all week long on their goods, their animals and stuff, and they bring it into Sataguro, this little village in the mountains, on Sunday and do the open market day at 8 a.m. on Sunday to noon. And they've done it for way more years than Columbus discovered America. All right, for hundreds of years, this was a tradition. This is the only way they get any money. This is how they live their life. So we have to adapt to there. I'm like, oh, yeah, good call, yeah. You know, so what I was thought was tradition, they couldn't do it that way. If they did, nobody would show up. So they changed the tradition of North American. If you say I'm an American, they get offended down there. They're Americans too. They're South Americans. We don't have a corner market. We're all Americans. We're them goofy gringos up north. Yeah. So you have to remember that you have to learn to adapt to what God is doing and to years of tradition. I is for ignite. Ignite the power of the Holy Spirit. There's some good igniting going on here this morning, Ryan. Some good igniting going on through worship. People's lives were changed. The Holy Spirit was touching people. So let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What are you going to receive? Power. Power. I don't think we've tapped into that. Even close to what we should be. And this is a neat verse that I'd forgot about a long time. So you got to swing to the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles, chapter 32. Give you a little bit of background. King Hezekiah was a king of Judah. And this other giant king said, I'm going to come kick your butt. That's pretty much what was going on. I'm going to come and I'm going to take you out. And so King Hezekiah had a dilemma. Everybody around him, all of his soldiers, everybody's like, we're done. We're toast. So chapter 32, verse 7 and 8. Be strong. This is the king addressing his men. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is a greater power within us. With him is only the arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, had said. We got to tap into that. We serve a God that created the heavens and the earth. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. He spoke it, and it was. Amen. About 4 years, I don't know if any of you watch Duck Dynasty. You know, I like Duck Dynasty. Jace is one of the sons, and he spoke at a church in Columbus. I think Sarah got his tickets. And Mike and I went to that. And he pulled up a stool, had his black T-shirt on, his beard and blue jeans, and preached out of the Word of God. He said, these folks that think that two things sort of smacked together in the earth and came down and hit the water and did this and all that, he goes, and then we came from that, he goes, I got two words for those people. Good luck. He goes, I didn't come from that. I came from God that spoke it into being. A God that spoke it into being. So this is a statement I want you to think about, that I heard this when we were doing the thing with Josh Cooper, had the back there, the guy from Bethel, said this to us. Jesus did the miracles on the earth as a man empowered by God. Woo. Think about that. Jesus did the things on the earth as a man empowered by God. I don't have a shadow here right now. A little bit. Yeah, kind of, sort of. The apostles would walk by, and as their shadow went across people, they were dramatically healed. Right now, boom. Everything. And everything I read in the Bible about when Jesus was preaching to people, and he was talking about healing and miracles, it didn't say 10 people got healed. It didn't say 40 people got healed. It said everybody that was there was healed. Every single person. Nobody was left out. Now that's a power, folks. That's a power that we need to tap into. And it really sort of changed my thinking that I'm a man empowered by God. You're a woman or a man empowered by God, that these things that God did can do for us. Next, G stands for good. Look for the good in people. Start there. I believe sometimes people, we got to look a little deeper because we're not seeing a whole lot of good. We got to look a little deeper. Sometimes you just go, are you kidding me? What can I find good in them? But if you look deep enough, you can. So let's look at 1 Samuel. Chapter 16. I believe Samuel was probably one of the most famous or tuned-in prophets in the whole Old Testament. So this guy was tuned into God. God called him at a young age and called him to be a minister in the temple. His mom dedicated him as a young man. He was raised in the temple of God, in the presence of God. This guy's tuned into God. 16, verse 7. So he's going, and God said, out of this family is going to be the next king. I want you to anoint him. So the first guy, the oldest son, come up. He's a strapping, good-looking guy, big. it surely must be him, God. In Samuel's mind, in his thought process, this is the guy. Nope. Nope. Went through seven. Nope. Is there anybody else? Well, there's this little dude out watching the sheep. Well, you need to go get him. That was David. So verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. 2 weeks ago, we rented a cabin down in Pigeon Forge in Sevierville, next to Marville. We call it Maryville, but they call it Marville. Marville, Tennessee. And we hit Kentucky and said, well, let's go get some food. So we go into this Wendy's. As we're walking across the parking lot, there's a guy about Brother Dennis's build, young man, come up to me and said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He goes, I don't want any money. I don't want a ride. Just want to know if you'll buy my lunch. I said, sure, come on in. I don't even remember his name. Do you remember his name, Kathy? Josh. And so we took Josh inside, and I said, whatever you want, just get it. And he started telling me a story. He says, I've been out of work. I don't have a home. I just landed this job with a construction company right back behind here. And everybody took a break for lunch, and I didn't have any money to go eat. Can you buy my lunch? I said, anything you want. He goes, well, one of them spicy chicken meals. I'd like to have that. I said, you want big size? No. Just whatever. So I'm thinking I'm going to get to really bless this guy, you know, buy him a meal. He goes, will you play a game with me? So now I'm going, okay, who is this guy? Let's play a game. I said, sure, I'm buying your lunch. I'll play a game. Give me a number between 1 and 280. 137. Reaches in his pocket, pulls out the New Testament. Turned to page 137. Scans it and goes, here's a verse for you. It had something to do with giving it will be given unto you. Guess who got blessed out of that whole deal? I did. What I thought was for his good was more for my good than for his good. So don't judge a picture, you know, don't a book by that cover. You know, God said, look at the inner. I wasn't seeing that. I was seeing a young guy that needed some food. But he was a believer. Had some rough times going on, but he was a believer. Next, H is for heart. We need to see ones get saved. We need to have that heart. John 3:17. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The most repeated verse ever is John 3:16, just before that. And for years, I thought this was a time where Jesus was on the side of a hill or in a big amphitheater, and he was sharing this with everybody. You know what this was? Nicodemus came to him at night, and they were sitting one-on-one, looking at each other. And Nicodemus said, how do I come to know Jesus Christ? How do I get born again? Explain that to me. Those verses came out of a one-on-one commitment, one-on-one time. It wasn't a big, giant thing. It was two people in the dark because Nicodemus was afraid if somebody seen him talking to Jesus, he'd get in big trouble. He'd get kicked out of the synagogue. So it was two people, one-on-one, talking to each other. That's how we come to know Jesus Christ. Oh, it's got to be one-on-one between me and him. Doesn't make a difference where we're at. It's got to be one-on-one between me and him. We got a brochure in your bulletin today. After the service, Kathy's going to be back there. MCC is dedicated that we're going to take care of number 2, Only Park Playground Mulch, MCC only. Saturday, August 12th at 8 a.m. We need at least 15 people there. Right now we got 3. Okay? If you're able, I believe that while we're spreading mulch, somebody's going to come walking up. And we might get a talk to him one-on-one, like Nicodemus did with Jesus, and we might get to bring him to Jesus Christ on that Saturday. Can you get saved by spreading mulch? I believe you can. My friend Eric Davis isn't here today. Years ago, he called me up and said, I'm ready. It's like, you're ready? He goes, yeah, I want to get saved. So he came out to my shop. We pulled up, dusted off two old dirty chairs, and he got born again in my shop. He stood up and goes, okay, I'm going to go home. I'm good. Got that done. So if you haven't signed up, we need some help. So be there for us. That guy might come up and say, you want to play a game between 1 and 280? I'd be that guy there. T is for thankful. Give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That's back in the New Testament. It's in the T's part. It's easy to miss. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 16 through 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything, hold on to that is good. Avoid every kind of evil. Be joyful always. Is that always easy to do? No. Thursday night, we were meeting in Upper Sandusky. As I'm coming off the ramp at Morrill, I'm going along the Morrill Kirkpatrick Road. I look out in the bean field, I'm like, oh, there's a deer running out in that bean field. Next thing, it ran right in the side of my truck. I wasn't real happy. I wasn't real thankful at that point either. So then I had to process it. Okay, God, all right. I thought, well, maybe it's not too bad. So I stopped at that railroad track. And it hit right at the driver's door, right there, and the next door, and then it slid down the side of the truck. No, I just put little scratches all down the bed, but it messed up two doors, and I wasn't being real thankful at that point. And God brought back a memory. We were working with some young men, street boys, that was with Phil and Debbie, Ecuador, you know, that were here, spoke a couple weeks ago. And it was a young boy that knew about as much English as I knew Spanish, and we could communicate a little bit. And he was 17 years old, 17, 18. And he looked at me, he said, do you own a car? At that point, both our kids were home. Kathy had a car, I had a car. Caleb had one. Jenna had one. I had my old 52 Ford truck. So I was like, well, I actually have 5 cars. You have 5 cars? He never even drove a car, ever. He's rode in a car before. You have 5 cars? And so I was thankful for what God's given us. So my attitude changed around a little bit. Now I'm thankful. I'm not thankful that the deer hit my truck, but I'm thankful for what God has done in my life. The blessings that we get, it all comes down to attitude, doesn't it? It all comes down to attitude. When you're having a bad day, it's all about your attitude. It's all about your attitude. I can't control. I wish I could have controlled that deer. I wish I could have shot it before it ran across me. Sorry. No, would have tasted a lot better though. Yeah. You know, I couldn't control that situation, but I can control my attitude about that situation. I can control that, and sometimes you have to work at controlling it yourself. It's a job. It's not going to be easy. And so you have to work through that. So we have to somehow find the perfect combination of the switch in people that say, I want to come know Jesus. Jeremy accepted Christ as a long, long time ago, as a young man. Jeremy was a little kid in this church growing up. I don't know, how old were you when you first came to Marion Christian Center? 12 or 13. life, circumstances, he walked away from God. I remember the Sunday morning when he came up and said, I want to come back to, I want to be here. I want to come back to, I think it was Mother's Day, maybe, wasn't it? Mother's Day. His mom and dad, his mom had been praying for Jeremy to come back to Jesus Christ, to serve God, the commitment that they knew was in him from a young man. Now he's held in the church. I mean, think about that. 10 years ago, no. Jeremy Davis going to live his life for Christ and be an elder at Marion Christian Center? No, that's not happening. Yeah, you need to go to the middle of Looney Tunes because you don't know the Jeremy Davis I know. That's what somebody would have said back then. But God. And something inside that switch went bloop. Okay, now it's time. So our job as Christians is to figure out, not to figure out the combination, but to just share. I can't, if I could figure out the combination for everybody to come to know Christ, I would just do it and they'd all get saved. But our job and my job is to just share Jesus. Yes. And when the time's right, yes, it's right. And so we can't control what they do and their choices. But we can control if we're going to share Jesus with people. Yes. Yes. Through our actions, through our words, whatever we do, we can share Jesus with ones. So wrapping up, let go of the past, move forward with God. Ignite the power of the Holy Spirit. Look for the good in people. Have a heart to see ones get saved, and be thankful. If I could do that one more time, this is how I would do it. Let go of the past, move forward with God, be thankful. Ignite the power of the Holy Spirit, be thankful. Good, look for the good in people, be thankful. Heart to see ones get saved, be thankful. We don't do that enough. We don't do that enough. I've asked quite a few people in the last 6 months, have you ever thought about why you got to be born in the USA, in Marion, Ohio, and the privilege that we have? And I thought about what, we got grandkids now, so we got 4 grandkids. What things would you never hear from someone from Radnor, Ohio, or Caleb is in Radnor, Jenna lives over by Bell Fountain, parents say to their kids when they go outside to play? Now be careful, there was bombings yesterday. If you hear the sirens, you got to make sure and run to the bomb shelter. Anybody ever tell that to your kids? No. Now look out, don't go past that place because there are landmines out there and I don't want you to get your head blown off. People live with that with their kids every day in these countries. Now be careful. Someone the other day, I know, ISIS came in and they beheaded that priest. Don't be down there around that church. I don't want you to get caught in the crossfire of that. We are so blessed that we can't be too thankful because of what the blessings that God has done for us. So thank you very much. Turn it back to Jeremy.
Thank you, Al. Talking about the combinations, and what I was seeing was everybody had a lock, but one key will open every lock. We just have to introduce them to that key. So, yes, the musicians will please come back up. And if our personal ministry team, that's who it was, personal ministry team, if you also would please come up. These ones will be up here for the end of the service to pray with anyone who has really any prayer request, any need for breakthrough, if we can revisit that little thing. Tick, tick, tick. Just teasing. So I'm going to go ahead and ask Alan if he would close us up with real quick with prayer, which I guess Ryan would do. But pray for us, Alan, if you would, please.
Father God, we thank you for the blessings that we have. Blessings that we have to live where we have. Blessings that we've able to come to know you as Lord and Savior. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, let today be that day that the key is turned, that the lock is open, and they accept your fullness and your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.